Whether you are new to the living healthy lifestyle or a healthy living veteran, this is the place for the honest answers to your questions. Naturally Savvy with registered holistic nutritionist Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis on RadioMD.com.
Welcome to Naturally Savvy Radio. I'm Lisa Davis. My fabulous co-host, Andrea, is off. Andrea, we miss you and hope you're having a great time. I am going to be excited. As soon as Vicki Robin comes on, here she is. She is such a fantastic person. And we're going to be talking today about her book, Blessing the Hands That Feed Us. Hello, Vicki. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Lisa. To talk with you again so soon.
I know. I got flummoxed because I'm so excited. I love what you do. I'm just going to tell people about it. You took on a challenge to live for 1 month eating only food produced within a 10-mile radius of your home. You wrote this incredible book about it. Tell us about why you wanted to do this, what it was like, and what you learned.
Thanks for asking. I was interested for a while in local food. You know, like everybody, I've tried out the farmer's market. I had a CSA for a while. Sort of had an inkling that it was good for me, and then there was other data that came to my attention, like that our grocery stores only have 3 days of food on the shelves. You know, if those trucks stopped running, we would completely empty the food that we assume is always there for us. That felt a little insecure to me, and then I started computing about all the food-related illnesses, and I wondered, you know, you have other guests who talk about processed food and whole food and organic food, but I wondered if there was a food you can trust because you know the farmer, not just at the farmer's market, but you go over to their farm stand or you can actually watch them milk the goat. So I was interested in whether this idea of local had more substance to it other than just buying 3 beets at a farmer's market and have 6 conversations. So I undertook this experiment. I consider sustainability an extreme sport. You know, if I have an idea or a value, if I think something's out of whack and I'm not living it, I'll set up an experiment for myself just to test it. And I want to assure you I am not being virtuous. I am simply being curious. So I did the diet here on Whidbey Island in Puget Sound. And even though it's a semi-rural island, I did discover that we could only eat here for 2 weeks in August from what we grow here. I mean, the people of this island are completely fed by the industrial system. But I was able to find, I had a farmer who partnered with me, and she provided all my veggies. And then I was able to find beef. I was able to find chicken. But that was a real come-to-Jesus moment because I discovered that the chicken was $5 a pound, and I thought, I want a bargain here. What can I do other than raise my own chicken? And talking to the farmer, I understood the whole process of raising a chicken. You know, our food is invisible to us. You know, we know that sort of pasty thing in a package came from somewhere. It was probably alive, but we don't really think about it. So the farmer had bought the chicks, and he'd built the chicken coop, and he had an indoor and an outdoor, and he had to cover it with netting so that the predators wouldn't get in. And even so, raccoons got a couple of his little chicks. So then he had to buy feed. And do you know that the industrial feed buyers actually have not only an advantage of scale, but they also have an advantage of pricing. I mean, they're specially priced for the Purdue and Tyson chicken. So he had to buy the feed, and he had to, you know, he had to get out there to water and feed the chicks and turn the heat on if it was getting cold, or he had to argue with his teenage daughter to do it. So, and then it's 8 weeks later, and he has to capture them, slit their throats, pluck them, gut them, wash them, package them. All of that went into this chicken that was in my hands, and what it made me realize was, it shifted my question from why is local food so expensive to why is industrial food so inexpensive? How have we designed an industrial system, the bottom line of which is not nutrition, the bottom line of which is not poisoning and putting enough sugar, salt, and fat in there so that you really want it, and making a profit for the corporation? So that got me onto the thought, how can this local food system, how can this scale up beyond one crazy middle-aged lady who wants to do an experiment and is willing to spend $25? How can this be something that's available to everyone. Not necessarily all their diet, not necessarily all the time, but how can we increase the amount of fresh, wholesome, whole local food raised by people that we know? I mean, that's the other part. Just sorry to jump, but I've been thinking about this. You know, food in the United States is the smallest, we pay the smallest percentage of our budget on food of any country in the world. And this is not necessarily the success story of our food system. This is, you take a look at it, and once you know your farmer, you have to ask, okay, everything I buy has hands that feed me. You know, like the title of my book, Blessing My Hands That Feed Me, everything I buy. So what was the life of that worker? You get into the justice issues. Like, you know, was that person who grew my food, did they have to leave their family behind in some other country to come to the United States to harvest those tomatoes? You know, so am I sort of in creating a broken families elsewhere in the world so that I can have tomatoes at the price that I want to pay? So we have gotten the thought that food should be cheap. Now, let's also take a look at other things in our relationship with food. We have obesity. We have asthma. So we are able to be food abusers. And I was a food abuser, you know, like if I'm happy, I eat. And if I'm sad, I eat. If I'm celebrating, I eat. If it's after 9 o'clock, I definitely eat. So it's, we start to see when you just engaging in this little local food experiment, I started to see sort of like the whole horizon, the roundness of the earth of our food system and where our food comes from. And so I decided I want to also eat. I want to pay farmers a decent wage. And I know that there are people who've designed their lives around a budget that can't afford one penny more for food. And I'm not saying that those folks should be engaging in such experiments. I'm saying that the rest of us who have a range of choices and who do have some latitude in our budget, and maybe we need to let go of one little thing out there, you know, one more necklace or one more pair of shoes, to be able to engage in something that is wholesome, healthy, nutritious, just. And speaking of nutritious, I just want to say, Lisa,
yes,
that I found that when I ate the biodynamically grown barley grown up on the prairie on Whidbey Island, grown by my friend Georgina, given to me, you know, I paid a lot for that, but, you know, the package handed to me by the farmer, I actually found, objectively, not because I wanted to think it, that I ate eating half of that grain was more filling than eating twice the amount of a regular grain. Because
wow,
we don't understand that food grown in soil that's well tended, that's you know, teeming with life, that's fed with natural fertilizers like manures, you know, that and green manures, that a soil that's well fed produces food that feeds us well. And so when you start to get into that, number one, the pricing balances, and number two, I haven't gained any weight since I started this.
Vicki, you are so awesome. I could literally listen to you all day. My friend read your book. She's raving. I'm raving. You're fabulous. And I'd love for you to come back sometime. It's been such a pleasure. Again, Blessing the Hands That Feed Us. I'm Lisa Davis, and this is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening and stay well.